This show is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. And on today's program, I'll be talking with Charmian Bully and Sandy Neiman of the Central Illinois Children's Chorus. The group was founded in 1978 and are giving their 34th annual winter concert this Saturday at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. All four ensembles from the larger chorus organization, and that's coming up later in the show. First, though, a conversation with trumpeter Bobby Hsu, who will be a guest with the Eastern Illinois University Jazz Ensemble at the Downa Fine Arts Center in Charleston tonight at 7:30. He's been with them for a couple of days now, giving classes and doing some teaching and other things. Trumpeter Bobby Hsu has had a fine career as a studio trumpeter, lead trumpeter in other situations, certainly jazz trumpeter, played with tons of some of the very biggest names in big bands: Tommy Dorsey, Woody Herman, Buddy Rich, Art Pepper, Horace Silver, Louis Belson, Benny Goodman, Maynard Ferguson. He's can even be heard on some pretty well-known television shows, of the older ones anyway, the original Hawaii Five-O, Streets of San Francisco, if you remember those, Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, and also on various films and lots of other places as well. Soundtracks, Grease, Rocky, the Muppet movie. So you've heard his trumpet even if you don't know his name, and you'll be hearing him in conversation with me in a matter of minutes after we hear this opening tune. And I say that without quite remembering what it's going to be. It's called a tune called Joy Spring, which featured Bobby Hsu with the Metropole Orchestra here on Live and Local. We heard a tune called Joy Spring, featuring trumpeter Bobby Hsu with the Metropole Orchestra. That's a recording, I think, from the late 2000s. And Bobby Hsu is going to be with the Eastern Illinois University Jazz Ensemble tonight at 7:30 at the Downa Fine Arts Center on the campus of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. And he's actually in residence with them for a couple of days, working with the students there, and he's on the phone with me right now. Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
So I read in one of the various biographies one can find of you online that there's a bit of an irony in your spending a lot of time working with students, and that to some degree I understand you're a self-taught trumpet player.
I am. There was no teachers in my city of Albuquerque, where I grew up. There was, especially in those days, there was absolutely no jazz in any school anywhere in the United States or in the world, for that matter. The system had not yet, sort of had the cognition that music, as improvised music, was worthwhile. And so I just played along with records, and that's how I did it. And I went to jam sessions and started playing dance jobs when I was 12 years old, and so that's the way to play anyway. I mean, it's the best teacher in the world, it's just to be on the bandstand.
Well, that's what I've always heard about jazz players generally, that you do a lot of learning off of records and just imitating other people, for starters.
Exactly. Yeah, the school can only provide a certain amount of information, but the information has to be applied and realized in application on the bandstand. So, I'm actually giving a talk about it sometime, I think it's tomorrow, about the difference between self-learning and recipient learning, so.
So this was essentially learning jazz. What about learning the trumpet in general? Are you self-taught at that as well?
Well, once again, it's I guess you could compare it to religion. Everybody has their own idea about it, And you have to find what works for you. There are, in my teaching, it's my 53rd year, if can you believe, of trying to teach the trumpet. But what I've realized many years ago, about 35 years ago, was I ran into some scientific information, you know, about how muscles work and respond and how the physics of tone production and airflow and so forth. And I did a lot of studying on the scientific side of it, and that helps set up a bunch of predictable fundamental things that have to occur, whether it's a classical guy or a jazz guy or a lead player in a big band or a guy in a polka band, that there are certain things that has to happen for each and every one of us to be able to play. Then you adjust it. You personalize everything for the type of music that you're playing. So it is, it's a problem sometimes when you're studying the trumpet with a teacher, and that he will put to you information that he has believed in, which may or may not apply to you. And if it's only opinionated stuff rather than factual, then you're up that famous creek without a paddle. And so that's one of the issues about teaching, is you have to, if you rely entire upon Mr. Joe Teacher, you can get in big trouble.
Well, that's where you branch out by just doing a lot of listening to other people, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's finding a balance. You know, the students that come to me, I know full well that I cannot turn that student into a player that he wants to be. Only he can do that. But my job is to guide them towards materials that are more factual rather than just my personal opinion, and then let them go home and practice them until they have a cognitive moment and say, oh, it does work.
What drew you to teaching in the first place?
Sorry?
What drew you to teaching in the first place?
Probably the fact that I didn't have one, and it was frustrating because I made all the decisions myself, and all of the decisions I made were not necessarily good. But it took me some years to realize that I needed to take a closer look. I did attend lectures and I read books, and all I saw was confusion and argumentative attitudes. Everybody thought they were ultimately right and everybody else was wrong. So I said, well, maybe they're all wrong, you know. So I like the idea of being able to try to help, and being in a position to help people, I think, is a blessing of sorts. You know, I wrote, one philosopher that I read many years ago said that a being is only as valuable as he's willing and able to help others. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, we could all profit from that one to some extent, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Wanted to hear another tune featuring you here. This is a tune called Al's Well, from an album called the H2 Big Band, You're It. And You're It is actually the name of one of the tunes on the the album.
Yeah, this, you know, we just did that up in Denver, December of last year. I can barely remember the album, except what I do remember about it. I remember that it was really hard work. They imported me as a guest because one of my students was actually supposed to be there, but he was busy on another tour and couldn't do it. So they brought me up to play on the thing, and I thought I was just going to come up and play a couple of solos, and lo and behold, they had me playing the lead trumpet chair on about a little over half of the material. It was quite a surprise for me, but it was a really extremely good band, and the trumpet section as a whole was just astonishing. Really wonderful players, and of course Al Hood, I've known him for 30 years. He's a brilliant player and teacher and archivist and all of that. And so it was a fantastic thing, but I think I've only heard the album one time, so I don't really remember what's there.
Well, I got a kick out of listening to it. I thought there was some really tight playing here.
Oh, yeah.
And some great tunes.
Yeah, very good band.
Al's Well, featuring Al, what did you say the last name was?
Hood.
Al Hood and Bobby Shue, who's going to be with the Eastern Illinois University Jazz Ensemble tonight at 7:30 in Charleston. And you're listening to Live and Local. Tune called Al's Well with the H2 Big Band and Bobby Shue with Al Hood on the co-trumpets here. Bobby Shue will be with the Eastern Illinois University Jazz Ensemble tonight and also doing some teaching over the next couple of days. And I wanted to ask you about some of your experiences with some of the big bands, since you're going to be doing essentially with a big band at Eastern. You've played with some, you know, obviously big name ones, Tommy Dorsey and Buddy Rich and Woody Herman and so on. What have you found to be, when you go from one big band to another, what are some of the significant differences that jump out from somebody who's within the trumpet section?
Well, first of all, I guess that you could use the word style, and that would probably encompass a lot of the answers there, but Buddy Rich, being the leader of the band, he had a particular way of playing the drums. Of course, nobody ever, to this date, and probably never will, play the drums as well as Buddy Rich did. But he had a certain feel and energy when he plays, and so that dictates the way to the band, how you interpret the music. As he's guiding you through it, he dictates this kind of energy, a way of swing feel and everything. Then when you go to Woody Herman band, it's different material. It's still a high-energy band, but it's a little bit different, maybe, you know, a little more laid-back in some cases. The Basie band, for instance, has a very precise way of swinging that determined, came out of really the Fletcher Henderson band of the late 30s. The lead trumpet player like Snooky Young pretty much dictated that whole style. The way the rhythm section feels dictates an awful lot. Stan Kenton band was a little more lethargic because it was heavy, and plus Stan was more Wagnerian, and the type of music he chose for the band to play was a little more kind of, I don't know what's a good word, maestoso would be a good musical word, but that may not communicate to the broad public. A little more dramatic, you know, orchestral sort of ta-ta-ta, you know. And
I'm not sure I've ever heard Wagnerian applied to jazz.
Yeah. Well, I'm not the first one that has used it in reference to Stan, you know, because he played very majestic music, you know. A lot of his music was not as loose and swinging as like a Basie band or as crisp, because it was a huge band. It was five trumpets and five trombones, tuba, five, sometimes six saxophones, and it just wasn't designed to swing. And he did like more ballady and more majestic type of dramatic pieces, you know. So.
And then what about at least at the time would have been a more contemporary type big band, Toshiko Akiyoshi, Lou Tabakan, which I guess is just her band now, if they're even still around.
Well, they don't have the big band anymore, but I played with them just only in May. They put an alumni band together just for a particular festival, and it was a thrill to go. It would have been 31 years since I'd played the book. But her band was based a little bit more around the quartet to feature Lou with the big band, but her writing came from a different place, so she being Japanese. She had more Japanese folk music in her head, and she wrote an awful lot of pieces that were based on her Asian influences and so forth, and that was a real challenge for us to learn to play that. We crossed over a cultural line there. learning to play that music. It was it had elements of the swing things from a Buddy Rich or a Woody Herman and Basie and all that. It had elements of that in there, but it also had a lot of orchestral stuff for like four flutes and a bass clarinet and things like that. So it was quite different, much more modern. And now if you look around and see somebody like Maria Schneider, for instance, she's taking it on to another level of orchestral writing. I think what's happening, too, is that if you stop and look at 60, 70, 80 years later, a lot of education has expanded. People or kids are much more exposed to materials and orchestral writing. They're influenced by, say, you know, I don't know, I mean, whether it's Bach or whether it's Ravel, Debussy, people of those who are out of a classical background. But I think a lot of that music is being crossing over into the jazz field as well.
And then there's going from big bands, playing in a big band, and you alluded to this earlier, where you are in the trumpet section versus coming in as a soloist. And when you said you played with the H2 Big Band, you were sort of surprised that you were in the section as well as the featured soloist. What's the difference from a trumpet player's point of view?
Well, obviously it's, you know, a boxing match is two guys. You're on your own. When you get a big band, excuse me, when you get a big band, it's sort of like a baseball team, you know. The whole team has to win the game. So it's a matter of working together. And in a big band, you might not get as many opportunities to solo because you're actually playing sections and there are so many soloists in a band and you share them. But in a quintet or something like that, it's you're playing all the time, soloing all the time, and it's a little easier with four or five or six people to tighten things up. And you start expanding the size of the band, it's a little harder to get everybody to swing and think alike. And so it takes a lot of awareness and a lot of, you know, training. That's sort of experience, of which there is no substitute, but a lot of little elements, but that's how it all happens. You know, a lot of people don't even like to play in big bands because they just feel they don't get enough to play, and those are the people who are more interested in themselves than they are in the product of the group. I personally love to solo, but I also love to be on a band that's actually swinging. And I've had moments, like for instance with Buddy Rich, there were times when I was playing with that band that I had tears running down my cheeks because it just felt so good. It was so tight and crisp and polished, you know. There is an absolute joy in doing something that well. A basketball team that really plays really well together, you know. There's something that just is overwhelming about that experience. And the same with music. I think it's music being so spontaneous, it's that's why I compare basketball and jazz to jazz, because they're very similar and they're all very, very spontaneous. You know, you can plan how to play a chart, but when you get into doing it, there are little things that happen. And you can plan how you're going to do a play and get the ball in and make a shot, but somebody sticks their hand in the way of the ball and the game changes.
That's for sure.
You know what I mean? It's the spontaneity is absolutely incredible. I don't always like to know everything that's going to happen way ahead of time. That takes the surprise element out of the thing, and that's why I think jazz is so fabulous. You know, you don't know. You sort of know what you're going to do and what. How you would play the tune, but if the drummer happens to look away or get sidetracked and loses the bridge of the tune or something, or turns the beat around, well, there you are, you know. And I don't know. I love spontaneity. I love being able to stand up there and and sort of, as we say, drop our trousers and see what happens, you know.
Well, Bobby Shue will be bringing his considerable experience to the Eastern Illinois University Jazz Ensemble and be featured with them and work with them during the course of these couple of days. They're going to be playing in concert tonight at 7:30 at the Dowden Fine Arts Center. And I appreciate your spending the time to chat with us here on Live and Local.
Well, my pleasure, man. Thanks for calling.
And we'll go out with a tune that he'll be playing with the Eastern Band. It's called Terrestris by Tom Harrell, and this comes off of an album called Bobby Shue and the George Robert Quintet. This is obviously a quintet arrangement, but they'll be doing a big band version tonight at 7:30. You're listening to Live and Local. Coming out of the drum solo in that performance by the George Robert Quintet featuring Bobby Shue live in Switzerland. The tune is called Terrestris by Tom Harrell. And Bobby Shue will be joining the Eastern Illinois University Jazz Ensemble for a big band arrangement of that tune tonight in concert at the Dowden Fine Arts Center. Starts at 7:30. And Bobby Shue has been my guest on this portion of Live and Local here on FM 90.9.
This is Vic DiGeronimo. Do you know what's exciting? Just the thought that during classic mornings, somebody will hear a great piece of classical music, and maybe one that's been around for hundreds of years, for the very first time, or a particular performance for the first time. Do you know what else is exciting? It might be you. Don't miss your chance. Join us for Classic Mornings, Monday through Friday from 9 to noon, here on FM 90.9.
Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled A Century of Stories and Sounds from the Stage, Music, Dance, and Theater in America. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. If you have discovered a new musical performer while listening to WYLL, or maybe relaxed after work while listening to our evening concert, you already know that some of these experiences can really engage your mind in a way that nothing else can. WYLL is committed to providing you with a variety of classical and other kinds of music. Your additional gift during this month of December, as we round out our calendar year, will help us continue to offer inspiring musical performance, including on Live and Local. You can contribute online at willpledge.org, willpledge.org. Next up on Live and Local, a conversation about Saturday's concert, the 34th annual winter concert by all four ensembles of the Central Illinois Children's Chorus. And here is a sample of their work from over the years. This features the largest group, which is the concert choir. More about that coming up.
Thank you.
We heard the concert choir, which I mistakenly said this year was the largest choir. It's the middle choir of the main three, of the long-term three, I should say, of the Central Illinois Children's Chorus. There's the Music Makers, which is the youngest kids, and then the concert choir, and then the chamber choir, which has the older kids until the last few years. They added the youth chorale, who are some of the oldest of the old, so to speak. Some of the kids who probably think they're too old for singing with the other ones, but including some of the boys whose voices have changed. They're giving their annual winter concert on Saturday at Faith United Methodist Church, their long-term home that's in Champaign on South Prospect. Concert starts at 4 o'clock and goes for a little more than an hour. And with me on the program for this portion of Live and Local is Charmian Bully, who's the artistic director of the organization, and also Sandy Neiman, who's the administrative director. And Sandy making her radio debut with, or at least her Live and Local debut. So thanks to both of you for coming in.
You're welcome.
Glad to be here.
And Charmian, were you at that point leading the concert choir last year? It was from last year's concert, or had you handed off the reins at that
point? I had handed off the reins to Anne-Marie Morissette.
Your daughter?
3 years ago, yes.
Your daughter 3 years ago?
Yes. I'd asked her to do it just for 1 year to help me, and she actually enjoyed it and has stayed on.
And you didn't mind giving up the concert choir after how many years?
Long time. I actually started directing the concert choir when I took the artistic director's job about 20 years ago. So.
And you got involved, I didn't know this until we were talking out in the lobby. Sandy was saying that you both got involved in the organization first as parents yourselves of students,
right,
in the choir.
That's correct.
Anne-Marie was singing with the choir. It was about 1982, and Carolyn Paulin was the artistic director, of course, the founder of the organization. And she asked me to start a younger group. And so I started a group at that time we called the Choraliers. And then we evolved into three choirs from the Choraliers, and we renamed them. And we've managed working with three choirs ever since.
And Sandy, your daughter Hillary was in the chorus?
Both of my daughters were in the chorus. I began as a volunteer parent on the board of directors in 1990 when my daughter started in Music Makers with Charmian, and eventually I became a staff member.
And I remember Hillary quite fondly from her years with the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra as a wonderful
Absolutely.
Violinist.
I think both of my daughters had amazing opportunities in the Champaign-Urbana community as far as performing arts are concerned. And I think one of the unique aspects of Central Illinois Children's Chorus is that we have amazingly talented people working with the children. One of our former conductors, Fernando Malvar Ruiz, is now the conductor of the American Boy Choir. They actually snatched him away from us.
I remember that. I remember that.
And they snatched a second choir director from us, Carrie Hyman. Dr. Carrie Hyman was our chamber choir conductor for a while. We now have Dr. Andrea Shoya, who is on the faculty of the University of Illinois, the music faculty. These people are just so talented and so gifted working with children. So I was pleased that my children were involved with that caliber of people.
Well, it's always fantastic for parents to see their kids perform at any level, but then especially when you know that you're performing at a high level and working with some really fine people. I wanted to play a couple of other songs from last year's December concert, winter concert. And this is the youngest group, the Music Makers. How young are we talking about, Charmian?
5, 6, and 7-year-olds. And you'll hear them sing In a Round on the first number, which is a little Hanukkah piece. And then you'll hear them sing a piece with some obbligato singing. And that's very difficult for children that young.
But obbligato singing meaning?
Meaning a part above a melody carried by a group. So a harmony against the melody.
So kind of their first two-part experience.
Right, it's their first two-part experience. A round is actually their first two-part experience also. They have to really use their ears and keep their part going and become independent singers.
And you're at the piano on this one.
I am at the piano. We do not have I can conduct and play for that group because we don't have an accompanist for that.
And there's a soloist in the second of the two named Anna Black.
Anna Black.
How old is Anna? Or was Anna?
Anna was probably seven then. She's now with a concert choir.
So she has bumped up one.
She has bumped
one
up one
age
yes.
level. So this is called Joy for All to Share, and then Tack för maten.
Tack för maten, which is Swedish for thank you.
Thank you for... Is maten a person?
No, it's just thank you for food, and you'll hear the English text then that follows.
Ah, good, so we'll get to understand. If their diction is clear, we'll
yes,
find out.
Right.
These are the music makers from the Central Illinois Children's Chorus on Live and Local. So they did a nice job of getting the words across. Tack för maten, the name of a piece from Denmark and featuring as soloist Anna Black. And then before that, Elizabeth Gilpatrick's Joy for All to Share, a Hanukkah tune from the winter concert last year, last December, by the Central Illinois Children's Chorus, the Music Makers, which is the youngest of the four choirs, which was led by, is led by, and featured on the piano also, Charmaine Bulley, who's the artistic director of the overall organization. And Charmaine with us, along with Sandy Neiman, who's the administrative director. And I'm curious, Sandy, when your daughter, Hillary, was your other daughter in the choir ever?
Yes.
What's her name?
Elise. In the choir for 4 years. She then switched to dancing. She studied ballet at the Christine Rich Studio for many, many years. But Hillary was in the program for 8 years until she was too old to sing in the choir any longer.
And so she progressed. Did she start with the Music Makers?
She started with Music Makers, progressed through all three choirs, and left only because at that point we were only went up to age 16. Now we have we used to be 10 ages 10 through 16. Then we went down to 6 through 16, and now we have included 5-year-olds through 18-year-olds, kindergarten through 12th grade.
So that was the youth chorale was in response to, well, probably folks
changing
like
voices,
your daughter,
kids
in part.
Not wanting to leave.
Well, like Hillary might well have wanted to keep singing.
Absolutely.
If there was something in which
Absolutely.
She could have sung.
We both cried when she was too old to to sing in the choir any longer.
So the changing voices, of course, applies to the boys. Who otherwise, you know, there's no part for them in traditional children's choir literature unless
treble
you...
Treble literature.
And treble literature,
And
yeah.
We give kids a lot of other opportunities. For example, I took Hillary to...
California
to sing with the National Honors Children's Chorus with the American Choral Directors Association. And she sang with Anton Armstrong, who's now the conductor of St. Olaf's.
She came home flying higher than a kite from that experience, totally turned on to choral music.
And you've not only, I mean, there's plenty of experiences that the choir as a whole gets to do every year, particularly the chamber choir, which we haven't heard yet, in performing with other organizations in the community.
We've performed with Illinois Opera Theater with their opera program, the University of Illinois Symphony, Champaign-Urbana Symphony, Prairie Ensemble. We just had the American Boy Choir in town and had the opportunity to perform with them. And, of course, we've performed with Baroque artists of Champaign-Urbana. Actually, the Illinois Springfield Symphony, also we've gone there to do Carmina Burana with them. And so it's been, we give the children a wide range of performance opportunities outside of just concerts.
The group that usually does perform with the other organizations is the chamber choir.
Is the chamber choir, yes.
And are all of the groups auditioned? Are any of the groups auditioned?
They're all auditioned.
All auditioned.
But for the young singers, just that they can match pitch.
But when to get into the chamber choir, it's a combination of audition and age?
Combination of audition and age, yes. Yes.
What happens if somebody who is of the age, so to speak, but doesn't pass the audition?
Well, they can still sing with the other organist. In other words, they can stay with concert another year with concert choir.
So the concert choir, does that overlap largely in age with the
some ages, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear the chamber choir. This is also from last December's concert, and this is under the direction of Andrea Scholia, who you mentioned earlier, Sandy, who has been with the group now for how long?
Since 2006, I believe.
And she also currently directing the University of Illinois Women's Glee Club.
Correct.
And teaching a number of other things at the School of Music at the U of I. This is a piece... which represents the fact that the choir members get to sing so many different languages. What language is this? Is it Al Shlosha Devarim or something like that?
It's Hebrew. It's a beautiful Hebrew song. One of my favorite.
What does that mean, roughly? Do you know?
Do you know what? I'd have to have the program to tell you that.
And that was last year's program.
That was last
year's
program.
We don't have
program.
That one. And they won't sing in English, so they won't help out. So, but Hebrew speakers hopefully will know here. But this is a tune by Alan E. Naplan and the Chamber Choir of the Central Illinois Children's Chorus. All four of the choirs will be performing on Saturday at 4 o'clock at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign.
Thank you.
the chamber chorus, the chamber choir of the Central Illinois Children's Chorus, led by Andrea Scholia, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Their concert will be on Saturday, along with the music makers and the concert choir. And I wanted to play another short tune. This is with the chamber choir combined with the youth chorale that we were talking about just a bit ago, who are the older kids, including some boys with changed voices and some of the girls who passed the official age of the chamber choir. This is, if I can get this one tuned, queued up okay here. We had a little trouble operating this particular CD. Give me just a moment. This one is called Hope for Resolution by Paul Caldwell and Sean Ivory. And with luck, it will actually play for us. Did I play the right one? Yep. Let's see how it goes. Not sure what happened just there. We snuck in some other sort of music from some other source. WILO's programs today are made possible by the Danville Symphony Orchestra presenting the Nutcracker with von Heidecke's Chicago Festival Ballet this Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Danville High School Auditorium. For more information, 443-5300. Also support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This is 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266AF Urbana and W293AF Danville.